The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
Oh, if you're watching us online, welcome. We are Bethel Church. We're located just outside of Tupper's Plains. We're glad that you joined in. We stream every Sunday live, and then you can watch it through the week anytime you want. So thanks for being with us. You know, this morning, someone came in and they heard I had the service today, and their teenager was, you know, reluctant. They're a teenager, so it's like, ah. And so mom says to him, well, Eddie's got service. There's always, you know, he always has props and her skits or creative stuff and all this. And so it won't be too hard on you. And I'm like, I got nothing today. No props. No, I got nothing. So, and I should have, because, yeah, I'll share that. I usually, everyone's a little different, and some people know how I prepare for a message, but it usually takes me about a day. And this week has been peculiar for me, and it has to do with the message, I think, because the title of the message is Can't. So I started on Thursday because, you know, I had a 4th of July picnic to go to yesterday at 4:30. So I started Thursday, and so then I worked Friday. So then yesterday, it's like, oh, you've got to get this figured out. I'm preaching Sunday. I started at 7 yesterday. At 12:30 last night, and you know, I was like, Lord, I can't. And at 11:30 last night, I was finally ready to hit print. And the printer was out of ink. Oh, I got to go to Walmart. Well, Walmart closes at 11 now. They haven't started staying open because of COVID. Like, oh, really? So I think God was really teaching me, because I wanted to say, Lord, I can't. I have hundreds of messages written. I have stuff in my head I can just preach. I'm going to pick something else. Can you bring me that water? I'm going to pick something else. I can't do this one, but nope. It's this one. So the ushers are coming around. They're going to pass out a little piece of paper to you there. So, as they're passing that out, I just wanted you to have it, to think about it. It says, here's what you just got handed. It says, revival. This is just the dictionary. This is just revival defined. Is one, a bringing or coming back to use, attention, or being after a decline. Restoration to vigor or activity. A bringing up or coming back to life or consciousness. A stirring up of faith, usually by those who have been indifferent, usually by fervid evangelistic preaching at public meetings. So revival is a verb. It is an action word. A building or this pulpit, it's this building, can't be an action word, right? It doesn't move. It's stagnant. So the building, the place, can't have revival. It has to be the people, right? And we want revival in our lives. And we always say, we want revival, and we think it's anticipatory of a place having some good service with great music and good preaching, and people get saved and people get healed. And we're like, they're having revival. Let's go to that place. It's the revival we've been waiting on. But if you go to it, you'll never have it, because the revival is you. So we want revival in our lives, so we must ask, who profits from my faith and my actions? Who profits from Eddie's faith and Eddie's actions? So, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to read it a lot today. Now, faith is. If you don't know this scripture, memorize it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, faith became your birthright. You know, I met a new couple up here. They came up for prayer, Stephen and Amanda. Yeah, Amanda, right? Yeah, her dad, she said, I introduced myself, she said, my dad's named Eddie. And I said, well, my dad was named Eddie, and my grandpa was named Eddie, and my great-grandpa was named Eddie. So it was my birthright. They passed that name down, and my first name and my last name. But faith is your birthright as a believer. Hebrews 11, 1. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I'm wrestling with this morning, and my wife says, just do a 4th of July message. I said, you know me, I'm like anti-holiday message guy. I preached here on Mother's Day a few years ago, and I had a Father's Day message. Do you remember? But I am going to share something. So today is July 4th. The day we celebrate our birth as a nation, our 245th birthday. But officially, the Continental Congress declared its freedom from Great Britain on July the 2nd, 1776. It voted to approve a resolution declaring, I wrote this down, quote, these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. End quote. John Adams said July 2nd would be marked as a national holiday for generations to come. That was Friday. After voting on independence on July 2nd, they decided they needed to draft a document to let the people know what was going on. So it took 2 days for them to draft the document, and they sent the document to the printer on July 4th, 1776. I have a copy. It actually came from the National Archives, Made in America copy. So the top of it says, in Congress, July 4th, 1776. They wrote that at the top so the printer would know the date he received it. And he printed about 200 copies. And then, and everyone talks about the signatures, right? There at the bottom, all the names, the big John Hancock at the top. So then on August 2nd, 1776, they signed the Declaration of Independence. They finally got all the signatures. It kind of went around and different. So then, of course, our first president, we're getting a history lesson. Then, of course, our first president was George Washington, right? Well, not necessarily. We had 8 presidents before George Washington. See, our state was under, our country was under the Articles of Confederation, the predecessor to the Constitution. And the Articles of Confederation called for a president. And the president had 1-year terms. John Hanson, in November 1781, became the first president under the Articles of Confederation. That was a few years after the Declaration of Independence. Hence, after John Hanson, we had 7 more. But under the Articles of Confederation, we didn't have a judicial branch of government, and the states had a whole bunch of power. So they said, hey, we need to draft something up to change this so we have more power. So then they came up with the Constitution as we know it. So George Washington was not the first president of the United States, but was the first president of the United States under the Constitution that we follow today. He took office April 30th, 1789, and served 2 terms. But there was 8 1-year presidents before him. So everyone's just looking at me. So we're building up to something here. What? So we're kind of setting the scene here to understand limiting beliefs in our life. And we're kind of setting the scene here that especially as believers, we have to learn to not take everything at face value, to be open-minded and seek things and find the truth. So a limiting belief is a state of mind, a conviction, or a belief that you think to be true that limits you in some way. This limiting belief could be about you, it could be about your interactions with people, or it could be about how the world works. And limiting beliefs have negative effects on your life. And they can be formed at any time in your life, but usually a lot of them are formed when we're kids. And we carry them our whole life. Jesus was, if you're in my Connect group, you know all about this. But Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, right? Because we have Good Friday service. And Jesus rose at sunrise, because we have sunrise service. Jesus rose Sunday morning, right? Friday, right? That's our whole, you know. But we all agree that the Bible says Jesus was in the grave 3 nights and 3 days, right? Are you using your fingers? Because it doesn't add up. Because Jesus wasn't crucified on a Friday and he didn't raise from the dead on a Sunday. He was crucified on a Wednesday and he rose from the dead on the Sabbath, which was Saturday. But always just because I've always been taught. So follow me here. I feel like I picked this message up because we've been learning a lot about where the enemy comes from, and so we can recognize and know and be able to combat. And I feel like this picks that up. So we can always grab a hold of that fresh wind and not be stuck in those places where the enemy tries to keep us stuck. So I feel like this message is picking up on where Pastor's been, but Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed. How do we be transformed? By the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. If you can alter the way you think about things, it can change you. How do you renew your mind? It's like, I've tried everything to get through this. How do you renew your mind? You know how. If you can identify the things in your life that limit you, your limiting beliefs or your ungodly beliefs, through Jesus, through the Word, through prayer, you can change those. Limiting beliefs are what you believe about yourself that don't line up with Scriptures. We had a lot of people up here for prayer. For some of those things are things that didn't line up with Scriptures, so they wanted prayer. That's how they're changing limiting beliefs. And limiting beliefs inhibit you from living your life to its full potential. And we just accept that. And limiting beliefs may keep you from having hope or faith in God's plan for your life. Wow. You can create these thoughts, the lies about yourself. They can come from past hurts, from negative comments that people made. Negative comments from people that you trust, from your friends, or from your family. Negative stuff from your teachers, from your coaches, from leaders, from church leaders. And they can cause you to start thinking wrongly. Things like, here's some examples. No one is creative in my family. Here's what, well, you've heard this said if you're in school. You're too skinny to play football. You're too disorganized to get a good job. And limiting beliefs can come from things that we've been taught, or personal excuses or fears. I had fears about this morning because I'm like, I was once like, I can't. Let's just go get an old message that I can just do. No matter how hard I try, I won't be good enough. Oh, I couldn't do that. All my value's in what I do. In order to be accepted, I have to please other people. I won't be able to ever fully give or receive love. No one would ever want me. I'll never be successful. I'm such an idiot. Why can't I do anything right? Here's one. That's just the way the world works. Man, those are limiting beliefs we have. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How can you be any of those things if you're walking in the perfect will of God? You can alter the way you think. You simply put on the mind of Christ. You put on the mind of Christ, your life can change. If you identify your ungodly, your limiting beliefs. Well, can I just put this on and I'm just there? No, you have to do it every day. No matter how hard I try, I won't be good enough. Rewrite that. I have nobody to please but God. I choose to release Curtis and Linda from any of my expectations. I thought about that this morning. I always have props and illustrations and stuff, and I'm like, that's what people are expecting, because that's kind of what Eddie does. No, I had to release my expectations of what everyone was expecting from me. I just have to please God. I can't do anything right. Rewrite that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I can't do anything right. No, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You ever say, I can't do anything right? I can't get this right? You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. How can you do anything wrong? Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Alan, would you like to come up here a minute? Oh, come on up here. Don't be bashful. This is Alan.
Hi.
Everyone say, hi, Alan.
Hi.
Matter of fact, everyone look beside you and say, good morning to somebody. Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to ask Alan a question. Now, this is on the, this isn't any, so, Alan,
yes.
What is something in your life that you would like to do?
Expand what I do musically.
Oh, you can't do that.
I can't.
No, you can't. Because I said you can't.
Okay. I don't know if it's a trick question.
He thinks he can expand what he does musically. Isn't that amazing? When you have conversations with people here, you know, we got to get to know each other. Okay, I just found out he must be a musician. Like a 60-second conversation. See why you should talk to people here? Anyways. So, he thinks he can expand what he does musically. Nah, he can't. He can't do that, can he? You can't do it.
No, yes.
For non-illustrative purposes, I hope and believe in Jesus' name that awesomeness he just talks about just blows up and comes to pass. But that was, you can sit down.
Okay.
Thank you. But so we all got things, right? And he put some thought into that. Yeah, this is what I want to do. No, you can't. So when my son was little, we were running around with some folks and man, they were high performers, and our son was playing with their kids, and our son was probably six, and I heard one of his boys say the word can't, and he looked at his son and he said, "You know that's not a word." Man, Trish looked there, and he said, "We don't use that word. It's not a word. It's not in our vocabulary." And I thought, how awesome is that? Because these are little kids, like, oh, we don't use that word. It wasn't a swear word. No, we don't use that. We don't use can't. Limiting beliefs and our core values are shaped a lot when we're kids. We've just came through 15 months of some the world bombarding us with all kind of stuff, right? The world told us what? Can't get a haircut. I still can't, huh? You can't get a haircut. You can't go to school. You can't go to work. You can't take a bus. You can't take a plane. You can't take an Uber. You can't have a birthday party. You can't travel. You can't go on a vacation. You can't have graduation. You can't play sports. You can't go watch sports. You can't go to a concert. You can't get your license renewed. You can't go out to eat. You can't go to a movie. You can't leave the house. You can't even go to your own funeral. And, oh, you can't go to Disney. You can't go to church. You can't go to Connect Group. You can't have prayer meeting. You can't have ladies group. You can't. You just can't do it. You can't touch anyone. You can't be within 6 feet of anyone. You can't go anywhere without a mask. You can't. Walmart still can't open after 11 o'clock at night for some reason. So we've been 15 months of all these can'ts. Can't, nope, you can't. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. So are you finished with your can'ts? Are your can'ts over yet? Or are you accepting limiting beliefs in your life? What if, like, Alan and I were super good friends, and he really valued everything I said, you know, and he starts telling me this plan for his life, and I'm just like, dude, you can't do it. I don't think you can do that. And then a couple other people say to him, yeah, I agree with Eddie. I don't think you can do that. So he starts thinking, man, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can. You know, these folks said, and they know what they're talking about. I don't think I can do it. Wonder what Jesus says. Are you accepting limiting beliefs? And even because of the past 15 months, have you changed the way you think about some things? Or are you saying to yourself, no, this is the things I can do. Because this week, once I got about 30 hours into figuring out this morning, I wanted to say, I can't, but I'm saying, I can, I can do this, I can do it. I think sometimes it's like, well, we tried the Jesus thing. We tried it, it didn't work. I tried to lose some weight. I tried everything to lose some weight. Well, what'd you try? Well, I tried the keto, and I tried going vegan, and I tried working out. Well, what are you doing now? Well, none of that stuff worked. I tried it all. And it's like, well, Jesus, well, I've tried. You know, I tried to be well. I tried to walk in health. And I tried. I went to church for a year. I tried. It just didn't work. We try something a few times. So I tried a million things. What? You tried three or four things. I've tried. I can't find a job. I've tried. Well, you send out two resumes and put something on Facebook. I could go into a couple stories there about myself, but I won't. I won't. Maybe I should. Maybe. I don't know. Huh. I'll just share one. Well, I wanted to refinance our house, you know, and get this 2% interest. And we had came through a tough, tough situation, and that's a story for another time up here. But it was awesome how God worked. But we had came through a tough situation. And so we tried bank after bank after bank to refinance our house, to get the good interest, couldn't. So, you know, you go online and they send them all over to every bank in the whole country, and people send you back and give us this, and then there was always that one red flag, and they're like, nope, no way, huh? No, never going to happen. And I just kept trying. I'm like, I want to get to better interest. We want to put ourselves in a better position. We can do some things with our other real estate if we do this. And every place we were going, you can't. But we did. Okay, so I could have quit after four or five can'ts, and it's not going to happen, but we just kept looking. But we try something a few times, like, yeah. Mark chapter 5, verse 26. I don't think I gave Miss Tina this one. Mark 5, did. Mark 5:25. Yeah, I did. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was sick for 12 years. She suffered many things from many physicians. She'd been everywhere trying to get help. She had spent all the money she had and was not better, and it kept getting worse. 12 years, been everywhere, done everything, spent everything, and she was still trying to get it figured out, folks. And she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I could touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, and she was healed of the affliction. She went through everything she had. She might have lost her home. We don't know. She went through all of her money. She went to every doctor, and after 12 years, she was still trying. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. This is a story about the dude that was stuck in bed in the palsy, and he wanted, and it happened a certain day. Jesus was teaching in this house, and the house filled up full of people, and you couldn't get in. It was cram-packed full. They couldn't get their buddy in who needed healed. And what'd they do? They're like, "Well, he's got to get healed. If he could just get to Jesus," they put ladders up, climb up, tore a section of the roof off, and lowered him down with ropes in his bed. They didn't pull in and say, "There's no room left. There's nothing we can do." No, they said, "Let's figure this out. We got to do something." The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and they knew they had a promise, but they wandered and kept going for 40 years. They kept on and kept on and kept on. Noah was told to build a boat. And for 120 years, people laughed at him, made fun of him, and he worked on building a boat for 120 years. Sarah was promised to have a son, and she was 90, at 89 years old, she was going, nope, God promised I'm going to have a son. She's 89, and at 90, she does. And Abraham was 100. They did not quit believing the promises of God just because things didn't happen when they wanted them to happen. We have to renew our mind. We have to lose the can't. What if Adam said to Jesus, he could have, right? "Jesus, God, you can't take my rib." What if Noah said, "God, I can't build an ark. What if Mary said to the angel, "Oh, no, I can't have a baby"? What if David said, "I can't face Goliath"? What if Moses said, "I can't deliver these people"? What if Joshua said, "I can't lead these people"? What if Jesus said, "I can't go to the cross"? All these people had the option to say they can't, including Jesus. What if they said that? Where would we be? Where are you at today because of your can't? What are you scared of? What are you afraid of? Tina Ball came to me just a little bit ago and said, I'm going to share it. She said, I think I'll get this right, because when I'm up here, my mind just does funny things. She said, she felt like God told her after we had prayer time and worship time that the walls of Jericho were tore down. It's done. They're down. So what if they had decided not to march around the walls for 7 days and not to blow the trumpets? Does that sound silly? March around the walls 7 days and on the seventh day blow the trumpets. I can't do that. So the walls are down, whatever. That may be specifically for someone. So, you know, the enemy has can'ts also. If you are transformed by the renewing of your mind and through the Word of God, guess what? The enemy, he can't hurt you. The enemy, he can't deceive you. The enemy, he can't steal from you. Come on, the enemy, he can't destroy you. The enemy, he can't stop you. The enemy, he can't defeat you. The enemy, he can't have you. The enemy, listen to this one. This is scripture. The enemy, he can't come out from under your feet. So why are we walking in fear? He can't come out from under your feet. He can't be a lion. He can't kill you. He can't do any of those things. The heroes of the faith, that's your homework today. Chapter 11, the whole chapter 1 through 39. Hebrews chapter 11, read the whole thing about all the heroes of the faith. Because they did all the things they could do because they never used the word can't. Everything we read and know about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Esau, Joseph, Rahab, Moses, Sarah, Barak, Samson, David, Jephthah, they all didn't know the word can't. They just did it. And we create all these limits. And we're Christians that have a Bible and believe what it says, and we place all these limiting beliefs and all this small thinking in our life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. John 10:10. We have that one. Let's put it up. John 10:10 says, we're about finished. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we found out he can't steal, he can't kill, and he can't destroy, right? He comes to try to do that. But what's Jesus say? What's God say? God came so you can have life and have it more abundantly. Not just simple life, but abundant life. Like Alan said, I want to take my music to the next level. Abundance. Jeremiah 29:11. Jesus says, for the thoughts that I think toward you, says God, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer who I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Your limiting beliefs should be going out the door, because we still live in a day when there's stories of the church and faith, great stories that are happening worldwide every day, because people refuse to accept that they can't. Matthew, I'm not going to read it all, but Matthew chapter 19. verse 16 through 22 tells us the story of a guy, and he went to Jesus and said, you know, what do I need to do to be a Christian? What do I need to do to go to heaven? What do I need to do? And he said, well, you need to follow the commandments. He's like, I have. And he said, you need to love your neighbor. I have. And so Jesus walks him through these things. He's like, I have. I've done all those things. And those things were awesome. And he's done them. He's like, I've done them. I have. And he said, well, then the last thing, he said, take what you have and sell it and come and follow me. And when you sell it, give it away. You sell it and give the money away. And the dude's like, and Jesus said, come and follow me. The same thing Jesus said to every one of the disciples that he picked, come and follow me. And the dude's like, he went away sad because he said, I've got a lot and I don't have the strength to do that. Now, was he terrible and awful and not going to inherit the kingdom? I don't think so. He just couldn't do that final thing. He said, I can't. It's got a hold of me. I can't. I believe that dude was destined to be one of Jesus' disciples. He said, come and follow me. That's what he said to all. Come and follow me. He gave up being a disciple. I believe that because he said, I can't. I just can't take that step. I can't. I can't do it. So what are our can'ts? What's limiting us? See, we have to get an understanding that the God we serve is bigger than we think. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, you remember the angel of the Lord came to Mary. Oh, that's not the one I was looking for. That is it. Luke 1:37. But the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, you know, you're going to have a baby, and explained it all to her. And the angel said, Mary's like, oh, no, this couldn't be. This couldn't happen. What do you mean? And the angel says, well, with God, nothing is impossible, Mary. And Mary didn't say, no, that can't be so. She said, okay. She said, okay. When you look at your very situation, not mine, not your situation, and you say, man, you know what? Nothing is impossible in my situation with the God that I serve. And then if you think about that, Mary waited to see Jesus in action. Mary waited 30 years to see him become who he was. You ever think, was she wondering, I wonder if this is so or not? I don't see what that angel of the Lord was talking about yet. So what is your limiting belief? What do you think that you can't do? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You think maybe God's initial thought was, I can't do that. There's got to be another way. I can't give my son. But God did it anyway. God gave his son so you and me could have life and have life more abundantly. Please stand. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in that abundant life that God has for us every day. That's what I want to do. And I would love for it to just magically happen. Wouldn't that be awesome? Ooh, it's just there. But it takes saying, I can do those things. I can pray and I can read and I can believe and I can change my mindset and I can put the things of God in my life. I can do those things. I can go to worship services and prayer services and I can tell people about Jesus. I can be the best I can be even when I don't want to be. I can preach the message that I wanted to just give up on because it was taking too much time. I can do it, though, because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Those are the things that line up with our life that He wants for us, right? Not just anything, but the things that He wants for us that line up with the Word. So, hallelujah. I pray that there's some things that you got rid of or getting rid of today. And I pray right now that if anyone doesn't know Jesus, and don't leave here not knowing Jesus. Don't waste a second, a minute, a day. You don't have to have anything in your life right to accept Jesus. That's why it's so great. You just do it. Wow. So, if that's you, if you want to know Jesus, and you come up and we can pray. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, you can do it anywhere. You don't have to come up and us pray. And that's how we like to do it, isn't it, though? But you can just do it. You can just ask Jesus in your life and ask Him to forgive you. But don't waste another day if you don't know Him. Don't waste a day, a minute. Wow. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And there's that can't. Oh, I can't give my life to Jesus yet because I want to work. No, you don't have to do anything, but do it. You just got to do it. You don't have to work on this or that or, nope, you just give your life to Jesus. Bam. You can do it. Hallelujah. Father God, we are thankful this morning for this service. We are thankful for Your presence in our lives, for Your Holy Spirit that shows us, that teaches us, that just comforts us. Lord, I pray this morning that folks that have limiting beliefs and things in their life that are hindering them, they can get rid of them, that they could understand this message and it will help them, Father God. I pray that we will all renew our minds and walk in the mind of Christ. Father, I pray if there's someone who doesn't know You, they invite You in today. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.